In the book of Hebrews, some early believers were tempted to return to the old ways, clinging to the traditions and rituals of Judaism. Today, you'll learn a better way. The writer of Hebrews shows them and us something greater. Why go back to the old covenant when you've been given a far better one in Jesus Christ? Today, we'll dive into Hebrews chapter 8 and explore how Jesus fulfills a new, better, and eternal covenant for all who trust in Him.
You've probably watched children on Christmas morning opening their Christmas gifts. They're tearing off the paper in their excitement, and it isn't long before the floor is covered with wrapping paper and empty boxes, and somewhere in all that clutter, you have some children enjoying their new gifts. Well, maybe you've noticed, as I have, a little later on, those same children might be playing with the boxes instead of the gifts, especially those big boxes they can crawl into. It makes you wonder if you should have just gotten them some empty boxes for Christmas. But we never quite outgrow that, by the way. We often take for granted the gifts God has given us and focus on something far less important in life. Well, some of these first century readers of the book of Hebrews were becoming a little like that. These Jewish believers had come to faith in Christ. They'd experienced the joy of complete salvation in Him. But now, with persecution growing, they're being tempted to forget that earlier excitement over what Christ had given them. They're being tempted to draw away from those precious gifts of grace through Christ and, well, go back into the tenets of the law in Judaism. Now, the Old Testament priests, that earthly temple in Jerusalem, the Old Covenant, in a way, they were the cardboard boxes. And they were starting to appeal to some of these Jewish readers at this point in life. Now, the solution is not just to scold them, but to remind them of the gifts they've been given through Christ. Now, so far in our wisdom journey, the author of Hebrews has been talking about how Jesus is a greater high priest than Aaron. Jesus wasn't limited with sinful weaknesses. His ministry wasn't temporary. Jesus is an interceding, eternal high priest. Well, now here in chapter 8, the writer continues to expand on this subject. He writes here in verse 1, "Now the point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated," note that, seated, "at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven." He's seated at the throne of God in heaven. Have you ever thought about the fact that Old Testament priests never sat down while in service? In fact, there were no chairs in the temple. And that's because their work was never finished. They did everything they did standing up. But Jesus is seated. And that communicates that His sacrificial work is finished. And by the way, He's not just seated, you know, anywhere. He's seated at the Father's right hand. The right hand signifies the place of divine authority and power. Now, verse 2 adds another contrast. Jesus, our high priest, is a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. You might recall that Jesus never performed a priestly ministry in the Jerusalem temple. His ministry is in the heavenly temple. No human has had any hand in constructing that tent. It was crafted by God Himself. Now, the contrast is made clearer as the author adds here in verse 5 that the earthly temple and its features are a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. This verse goes on to tell us that Moses was instructed by God, saying, "See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain." This is a fascinating thought to me. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 22 tells us that in the final recreation of heaven and earth, there will be no temple, because John writes, "Its temple is the Lord God." However, through human history on earth, there's a temple pattern in heaven. In his tour of heaven, the Apostle John saw He saw the altar, Revelation chapter 6. He saw the altar of incense, Revelation chapter 8, and more. So the tabernacle of Moses and later on the temple in Jerusalem were following the pattern of a heavenly sanctuary. Now, the point the author of Hebrews is making is this. Why would anybody want to cling to an earthly imitation that's going to wear out, rust out, and in fact, a few years later, after this is written, it's going to be destroyed by the Roman army? Why cling to that when the heavenly temple is going to endure throughout human history? In other words, why would you want a cardboard box when some far more precious and significant gift remains? Now, this leads to the writer's second point. Not only is Jesus Christ a superior high priest representing a better temple, but secondly, the covenant Jesus Christ offers is a better covenant. Now, he writes here in verse 6, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. Well, this old covenant is the one God made with Israel at Mount Sinai, the covenant of the law. But now Christ is the mediator, the go-between, who has brought to us a new and better covenant. The writer explains here in verse 7, if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. Well, that statement naturally makes you wonder what it was about the old covenant that was faulty. Thought it was pretty good. Well, for starters, the problem wasn't on God's side of the equation. It was on man's side. It was a conditional covenant dependent on the nation Israel's obedience. And if you've read the Old Testament, beloved, it's clear that the people of Israel were consistently disobedient. But God hasn't given up on them. In fact, here at verses 8 through 12, you have a quote from Jeremiah 31, where God clearly promises a new coming covenant. Verse 8 quotes Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. By the way, this is another way of reminding these Jewish believers that the new covenant wasn't something the apostles cooked up. This wasn't something they created. This new covenant had been foretold long ago by the prophet Jeremiah, hundreds of years before Jesus came to earth to fulfill it. This wasn't a surprise. Israel failed to keep the tenets of the old covenant. God says in verse 9, they did not continue in my covenant. Well, the truth is they couldn't keep it fully because no human apart from Christ can keep all the commandments of God. Among other things, this old covenant revealed their sin. It revealed the inability of the law and ceremony and tradition to save anybody. There was the need for something new, and that would be the final sacrifice for sin through the death of Jesus. Now, still quoting Jeremiah, the writer spells out God's solution here in verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. I will put my law into their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. In other words, this new covenant isn't a list of commandments chiseled in stone tablets. This covenant is the grace of God written in the minds and hearts of people who will trust His word. See, the Old Testament believer was looking forward to the fulfillment of this new covenant that had been promised. All the way back, in fact, in Isaiah chapter 53, the Messiah, we're told, would be pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, verse 5. See, we today look back at the fulfillment of this covenant completed by Christ Himself. Perhaps you remember how in the upper room, Jesus took the cup. The gospel writers tell us, and He said to His disciples, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Luke 22:20. This is the new covenant for all who place their faith in the blood of Christ shed for their forgiveness. This new covenant is for both Jews and Gentiles alike. Thus far, the writer of Hebrews has told us that we have a better temple when we follow Christ. We have a better covenant by giving our lives to Christ. And now we have a more permanent solution. Here in verse 13, and that would be this third point, the author writes, In speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. In other words, why would you as readers, why would any of us want to cling to a covenant that is now obsolete? It's been fulfilled, and now we have a far more valuable, eternal, new covenant in Christ. Well, that would be like discarding your new Christmas gifts and choosing to keep those old cardboard boxes instead. Well, the question for you today is this: have you accepted this free gift of forgiveness through Christ today? Are you clinging to a better covenant through his cross work where he died for you? Well, if you haven't, what are you waiting for? Accept him as your Lord and Savior today. Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Today's lesson is called Out with the Old Covenant. Jesus is the mediator of a new and better covenant, offering us eternal access to God. The old covenant with its rituals and laws is now obsolete. Don't settle for the shadow when you've been given the real thing. If you'd like to learn more about us and explore our resources, I encourage you to visit our website at wisdomonline.org. There you can access Stephen's entire Bible teaching library, which includes every broadcast and hundreds of sermons from over four decades of teaching. One of the key features of our site is the daily broadcast. We post each day's lesson right on the homepage, so if you ever miss a broadcast, you can easily catch up. And if you'd like to revisit previous lessons, you can navigate back through the archives to find any broadcast you missed. This allows you to stay connected with our daily Bible teaching ministry, no matter where or how you tune in. In addition to these daily broadcasts, Stephen's complete sermon library is available on that site. He's preached through hundreds of passages, and all of his sermons are organized by Book of the Bible. Our website is a valuable resource, and we invite you to visit wisdomonline.org anytime to access this content. Thanks for joining us today. Come back next time to travel through God's Word on this wisdom journey.